Indra Nooyi, who for 12 years led PepsiCo, one of the biggest consumer brands in the world, is stepping down. As one of only about two dozen women running an S&P 500 company, Nooyi has had an impressive run. She successfully fought off activist shareholder Nelson Peltz's attempt to force a breakup of the $166 billion snacks and drinks conglomerate. And she's credited with transforming Pepsi away from its reliance on soft drinks after soda came under assault for contributing to expanding waistlines around the world.
It's shaping up as a new battle for the Pacific in the internet age. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced a plan to spend $113 million across the Indo-Pacific, Australia and Japan, announced they'd be joining the U.S. to invest across the region. Analysts say it's all in the hope of edging out a diplomatic push across the Pacific from China. And one front in the battle is opening up over who in the region gets access to high-speed internet cables.
Alibaba's built a new workplace app for China called DingTalk, and it's all the rage among employers. It's designed to send employees repeat notifications called dings if they don't respond to their boss's messages until they do. But that's not all the app does. As Reuters' Yawen Chen reports, the company has also added an array of new functions designed to boost productivity, some of which employees are not too happy about. As DingTalk's user base grows, workers are taking to internet forums to vent their frustrations.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's August 7th, 5:09 in the morning. Here we are again with another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've got a good show for you today. On the broadcast, Tim Roach is here, the president and CEO of Lender. That's L-E-N-D-R. And we'll talk about the future of small business lending. And a little bit later in the program, the mayor of Whiting, Indiana, will be with us to talk about an initiative there to move businesses to his community. Mayor Joseph Stohura will be here, the mayor of Whiting, Indiana, at about 5:40 this morning. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, here's some intel from overnight and early this morning. Asian stock markets followed Wall Street higher yesterday into today as a strong corporate profits report helped to diffuse fear over U.S.-China trade tensions. Stocks finished broadly higher yesterday for a third day on gains for media, retail, and technology companies. This morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street when the opening bell rings later this morning. Dow futures are up 77 points. NASDAQ futures are up about a third at 22 points. And S&P futures are up about a quarter, about 6 points. And the rest of Asia, the Nikkei is going to close up about 0.5%, 155.42. The Hang Seng is going to close up more than 1.5%. The Shanghai up almost 3%. In Europe, markets are generally higher as well, with the FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all up by more than 0.5%, the CAC in France up almost 0.75%, and oil is trading at $69.55 a barrel, which is up about 54 cents. A couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. The Justice Department asserting that the judge who allowed AT&T's mega merger with Time Warner was clearly wrong in concluding the marriage won't harm consumers. A judge misunderstood the complexities of the booming pay TV market and the nature of AT&T's competitors, according to the Justice Department's filing on their antitrust case. AT&T General Counsel David McCatty said that there's nothing in the government's new filing that should lead to the judge's ruling being overturned. Appeals, the filing said, are not do-overs. The June ruling paved the way for one of the biggest media deals ever, phone and pay TV titan AT&T's $81 billion of Time Warner, the owner of CNN, HBO, the Warner Brothers, and the movie studio that is popular with a lot of different movies. Another story that we're watching out of Wisconsin, the state Senate there says there are not enough votes yet to pass a tax break designed to keep open a pair of Kimberly-Clark Corporation plants in northeast Wisconsin. And an insurance industry group is warning that cars and trucks with electronic driver assist systems may not see stopped vehicles and could even steer you into a crash if you're not paying attention. The Institute, Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, issued the warning today after testing five of the systems from Tesla, Mercedes, BMW, and Volvo on track and public roads. The upshot is while they could save your life, the systems can fail under many circumstances. The demand for small business loans is growing in many parts of the country as the economy continues to boom. First guest this morning knows a lot about that. The CEO of Lender, Tim Roach, is here, L-E-N-D-R. We're going to talk a little bit about the future of small business lending and more about Lender. Tim, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Let's talk about a couple things that are in the headlines first. Small business lending, according to a government report and according to some lenders, is higher. I know the last time we talked to you, we spoke about some of the challenges that small businesses face getting loans. Would these statistics be good in your mind?
I think they would be great. We're continuing to see an increase in small business funding from business loans, business lines of credit, advances, merchant cash advance, specialty finance continues to grow. You're seeing double-digit growth in some of the larger states like California. So I think it's very good for our industry.
What does it tell you? I mean, what does it say about the economy that we're seeing more small businesses wanting to get more funding, trying to find more capital?
Well, I think it first starts that we're seeing more businesses get open, from startups, which we're starting to finance, as well as well-established businesses starting to grow again. So all of these companies need funding from one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of banks are still not funding. And so this constantly creates a greater opportunity for specialty finance.
Before we go on any further, let's recap what Lender is about. Tell our listeners who may not have heard about what you do, what it is that you're all about.
Yeah, Lender is a specialty finance company. We do traditional factoring. We do different type of financing options for businesses. We do a lender business credit card. So basically, we will provide a financing option anywhere from 4 months to 15 months for a small business owner. We will loan as low as $10,000 up to $750,000. And it all depends on the health of your business. We don't really look at a credit score.
When you say it depends on the health of your business, what do you mean by that?
So what your daily deposits look like, what your monthly deposits look like, your average daily balances, what type of industry are, your geographical location, basically the health, your credit worthiness and your credit risk is what we look at. So if you have a 520 FICO or a 780 FICO, that's just one instrument we look at rating it. And it's actually the FICO for us is very, very small.
One of the things that draws companies to Lender is that sometimes you're there when banks are not. And that's one of the big issues right now in the lending space, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the banks still want to put every small business owner in a box, and one box does not fit all. And so what we've started looking at was how can we continue to basically build a custom offer to each client of ours, and it may be different. Someone may be going in through a slow period, a seasonality. We look at everything. We look at how they're going to be able to pay us back. We'll adjust their payment accordingly. So we're really trying to create other options for our business owners so they have the access to capital when they need it, as we have to have access to capital in order to lend them. So I understand that because I'm constantly in talks with other banks, other hedge funds to say, hey, we need cheaper money so we can pass it on to our clients.
What is it like when a company is in that mode, ready to expand, and they can't find money? I mean, what you talk to some of these folks on a regular basis. What goes through their mind?
It's exciting to see growth. We're in a growth cycle ourselves at Lender, but it's really exciting to see a company grow. Growth is painful sometimes, and the hardest thing with growth is finding that additional capital, constantly finding a source that allows you to grow and grows intelligently with you, and that's what we pride ourselves on, really growing with small business owners and giving what they need in real time. We can fund somebody the same day if they have all of their banking, you know, all of the information that we require of them. We fund a lot of clients same day. The bigger loans, the bigger advances that are, you know, $200,000 to $500,000 usually take 1 to 2 days.
You touched on this a little earlier in one of your answers, but I want to delve into it a little bit further, and that is, how does a small business owner know which one of these funding sources is the right one for them? So what would have them choose Lender over another option?
That's a great question, and one that is dear to my heart and also, you know, kind of irritates me at times, because I think the biggest thing that we need to do is educate our potential clients and our clients. And what I'm seeing in the industry, in the space, is there's some, as we know, in every industry, there's some bad apples. And we had something recently that a good client of ours took out a pretty large loan for $400,000, and the broker on the back end basically took an $80,000 commission.
Wow, that's a huge chunk,
unbeknownst to anybody. And lo and behold, our client is obviously mad, doesn't want to pay anybody because he felt he was somebody basically stole from him. And so our job half the time is talking to our clients and making sure we're educating them on what our fees are, what we're charging them. There's no hidden fees with lender, as well as if it's not a fit for us, we've referred several of our clients to other lenders that fit that bucket better. But we also ask them to make sure if you're coming with via broker, ask the broker what they're charging. And really understanding what their costs are, should not be any hidden fees.
Yeah, this all comes back to a phrase that I think our listeners will be familiar with. They've probably heard it a lot: truth in lending.
Truth in lending, 100%. There is a big following happening. Obviously, the banks, if you're in compliance, our company is in compliance, even though we don't do a lot of business lending. We do a lot of specialty finance, the factoring. So there's not a lot of governing bodies right now. And I'm okay if there was governing bodies, because our company is in compliance. Truth in lending for us is making sure our client knows exactly what the APR, what their fees are, that there's no hidden fees, what the interest rate looks like or the advance rate, and being very, very aware of what's happening. And that client should not walk away confused or some situations we understand that some clients need the money today. That still doesn't give another lender the opportunity to take advantage of them. So when you're seeing the 100% plus APR, in my book, that's just wrong. And so we try to help our clients understand that.
And part of this, too, from your standpoint, is you want the client to walk away happy, because of an angry or sad client is not going to be a good recommendation down the road, is it?
It's a horrible recommendation, and word of mouth, as we all know, is the strongest way of still getting great business, and we want our clients to be happy. Listen, we would love our clients to stay with us the entire time and be a business partner with us, but we realize that as the client grows and their business grows, the next thing we also want them to see is get an SBA loan. Go back to the bank, get that bank loan. We're very, very, very proud when we see our clients gravitate back towards that. Some will keep a bank loan, and some will continue to use us because of the speed in which they get capital, and they know that they're going to pay it back in a set period of time, and they built that into their projections, and they understand the cost of capital. We love that client. But at the end of the day, we want what's best for our client. We want to help them, educate them, get them to a place that's best for their business so their business can grow intelligently.
You mentioned earlier that this is a time of growth for lender. Can you expand on that a little bit? What's going on that's good since we talked to you last?
Well, we obviously made our move from, we were in New York, our headquarters moved to Chicago about a year and a half ago, and we'll see probably about 55-60% growth year over year from last year to this year. We just had a little state of the company address yesterday, and we had to name all of the new team members that started in Q2, so that was kind of a fun exercise for the rest of the team. But we're just seeing great growth. We're probably getting ready to have to move in a new location in River North. So we're just exciting times for us as well at Lender, and we got a new facility. We got a new $50 million facility. So it's exciting times for us.
I know the last time you were here, I was asking about your plans for the future. Where you want to expand to, how you want to expand. Have you thought any more about that?
Yeah,
what's coming?
Yes, we want to continue to look at all the options in specialty finance, like traditional factoring, of staffing, of purchasing your purchase orders, large trucking, the credit card, continuing to move into a line of credit and a business loan. We're going to be partnering with a bank soon. So we're going to have 3 to 4 different verticals for our clients to be able to have several financing options.
Are you also looking at other states as well? I know you're in a limited number of states, right?
Actually, we're in the lower 48.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't fund in Hawaii or Alaska, but we are actually starting to look at Canada. We believe we'll be in Canada in Q1 of 19.
Yeah. What does disruption look like? I know that you're sort of a disruptor yourself, but what does the disruption look like going forward? And I asked this question because I pulled from the headlines this Square partnering with eBay to expand small business lending. I don't think it's at the level you guys are at, but is that disruption for you?
Absolutely. You're starting to see JP Morgan, Goldman, You know, Square, eBay, you're starting to see some of the larger players get involved into business financing, small business loans. Absolutely disruptor. Technology is another disruptor. Being able to speed kills, you know, in everything. And so being able to acquire your customer, maintain your client, and understanding your cost per lead or cost of, you know, that acquisition is really, really important. But yeah, we looked at Square and eBay, and that's absolutely a disruptor because, you know, you're going after a 29 million small business pool, and a lot of large players are getting involved in that. So we're keeping a close eye on that, and we're continuing to advance our technology and our customer service and trying to differentiate ourselves from other lenders by doing the right thing by our clients and trying to make a difference and an impact on our small business owners.
I saw a story recently about applying for loans and small businesses in particular, that the biggest area that is a problem are mistakes being made on applications. I guess that's for a standard business loan. How are you guys different, and how do you help along people in that application process?
So we have several different ways in which we do an application. If it's coming from the direct channel, the person can go on our website. They can talk to one of our customer service support. We fill that application out. We verify all of the information. We then run it through several checks, LexisNexis, Thomson Reuters, other things like that. And if there's any issues with it, we reach right back out to the client. Everything's secure. We share none of our data with anybody else. So, you know, it's really just having good process and procedures in place, good SOPs. When something goes wrong, we get back to the client immediately, make sure the information is correct, make sure the information is secure. So that's not an issue that we have too often, but when we do, we deal with it right away because, you know, obviously we're seeing a lot of issues with information, with Facebook, with a lot of other things. So we know how important security and keeping everybody's identity secure.
How does the calendar affect your business? Here we are talking in third quarter. Does your business increase early in the year or late in the year, or is it unchanged?
You know what? We go in cycles like everybody else. I think you see a summer ramp up, and then you see a little bit of slowdown as the summer unwinds, and our Chicago summers are too short. Yeah. And then we're rolling into fall, and people want to start getting ready for the fall inventory, getting ready for the holidays. So we kind of go in a cycle, but our business for the most part is pretty consistent. What hurts you always is July 4th on a Wednesday. You know, Christmas is on a Tuesday or you know, New Year's Eve, those days where you kind of lose that week. So December and July typically are two of our slower months. February is obviously the shortest month of the year, but our February doesn't hurt us too often. So really it's around the holidays where they fall in because you really lose an entire week.
So what do you think, if you had to, again, look into your crystal ball, what would the future of small business lending look like? And again, what do you see for a lender moving forward?
Well, I'm excited about small business lending. I think it continues to grow. I think we're that footprint is pretty solid now. I think the banks will eventually have to come back into the small business lending, which they're trying to do. But once again, I think they want everybody to fit in one little box, and I don't think that's going to work. So I'm really excited about it. We're our projections next year are double digit again. What we're seeing, our direct channel that we obviously we're on the radio with you guys and using a lot of other marketing tools to help us continue to grow our business and talk to our clients and acquire our clients. So I'm very excited about where Lender will be this time next year. And like I said, I'm very excited that small business lending is in a great foothold right now, and I think it will continue to grow.
Tim, good seeing you again. Come back again and see us soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tim Roach is the president and CEO of Lender. That's L-E-N-D-R. And you can find them online at lender.online.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. To help get young girls interested in STEM fields, Maker Girl, a nonprofit startup out of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, is expanding its 3D printing and STEM classes to more local colleges. Maker Girl is now at Northwestern University and is working to partner with DePaul. Since Chicago-born protein bar startup RX Bar was acquired by Kellogg for $600 million last year, it has helped boost business for the Michigan-based food company. RX Bar contributed $59 million in sales to Kellogg during the second quarter and $110 million in the first 6 months of this year. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Saw a headline recently that says business is booming in downtown Whiting, Indiana. They've just landed the Mascot Hall of Fame, lots of other good stuff happening there as well. We invited the mayor to be with us this morning. We're happy to have Whiting Mayor Joe Stahura. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
That's a pretty cool headline, business booming in downtown Whiting.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, we've been blessed a little bit. In a small town, booming is probably different than what it is to the big city of Chicago or something. But we've been really blessed to have a lot of new businesses come our way, and we're happy to see that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Booming how? I mean, how do you gauge something like that for your community?
Well, I mean, there's only so much real estate in the community, and there's only so many buildings and so many openings. And right now we're as close to full capacity on our storefronts and our downtown business district as we can be, which, you know, it's for small towns nowadays, and trying to maintain a traditional downtown, that's a pretty big task. So I guess that's the most important gauge. And, you know, we're glad to see it, and we're looking for more space to put up, and hopefully we can continue to flow.
It's a wonderful accomplishment, not only a great goal, but a wonderful accomplishment, because other towns are probably listening right now saying, wait a second, that sounds pretty cool, because we have open storefronts, a lot of open storefronts. How have you done it? What's the secret to your success there?
You know, it's not something that happened overnight. It's a long-term strategy that we had to start the turning, Whiting, Indiana, to a little bit of a destination spot. You know, we're not naive enough to think that people are going to come and spend a week in Whiting for us, but we're trying to attract people here to keep the business district loaded, and what we've been doing is apparently working. You know, we have a brand new, or I must say brand new, recently renovated lakefront park facility, so you know, during the summer months, we have a big inflow of people from around the Midwest coming in to use the facilities, use our water park, and rent facilities along the lakefront.
That was 2014, the lakefront park, a big attraction. I know of people who've gone there as well. That's obviously a destination people want to go to, but what about, let's say, the Mascot Hall of Fame, some of your other events that you got going? I mean, you have quite a few things happening.
Sure. Pierogi Fest is, of course, our big production every year. You know, we estimate about 300,000 people come into Whiting and visit us for 3 days. And, you know, people get a chance to experience the community and see the festival, and then they come back again. The Mascot Hall of Fame is another piece of the puzzle that we're trying to do to add another tourism component to the city. And the Mascot Hall of Fame is a great partnership with the former Philly Fanatic, a gentleman named David Raymond, who had a virtual Hall of Fame, and we just turned his virtual ID into a brick-and-mortar location. And that'll be opening late this year. We're working on installing all the custom exhibits at this point.
On the Lake Park, Lakefront Park, I saw statistics that said you had 21,000 visitors there, I think. Is that accurate?
Well, we had 21,000 people spend $20 to go on a water park ride. It's an attraction. It's actually a floating water park in Lake Michigan. So that number was just for that attraction alone. Last year, we had around 350,000 cars drive through our park. So for a small little city, we anticipate somewhere in that 500,000, 600,000 people attended or visited the park. You know, we're a city of 5,000, a little less than 5,000 people. So when you could, you know, attract half a million plus to our park, and 300,000 to the Pierogi Fest, and, you know, 40 or 50,000 to our annual 4th of July parade, and, you know, 15, 18,000 to our 4th of July fireworks celebration. You know, those numbers add up, and people experience the city, and, of course, they want to eat in our restaurants, and hopefully they'll shop in our stores, and, you know, the demand is a little bit high right now, so, you know, we're trying to find ways to satisfy it.
And I, you know, I refer to those numbers again to ask the next question. That is, do you have any sense of where people are coming from to visit Whiting?
Yeah, so the 21,000 that came and traveled to visit, to use the water park, the floating water park, we had statistics that 19 states were covered. So people came from 19 Midwestern states, heavily from the Chicagoland area, of course. I like to tell people who say, well, why would you think Whiting could be a tourist location or a destination? And I said, we have 9.5 million of our closest friends that live right across the border in the Chicago metropolitan statistical area. So, we have a large pool of people within an hour or hour and a half drive time of Whiting. And it's not unusual to see a heavy influence from the suburbs and from the city.
You mentioned earlier that most of your storefronts there are full up. How do you come up with new ways of getting businesses involved? I read recently that you're doing a pop-up vendor program. Is that a way to kind of add more to the city?
Yeah, well, the pop-up vendor program was a way to help extend the local businesses who already have a presence in the community into our lakefront park. Lakefront park is a huge area to where, there's room for other vendors to go out there and help satisfy the crowd that are out there. Like coming up, we have the jet ski race this weekend, and we also have a bike ride. So, we're going to have vendors out there servicing the people who come and look at and watch the jet ski race. So, the local ice cream store, the local coffee shop, we have three, our local game store, they all rent for a very modest fee a tent, or they bring their own tent, but they rent the space. And they just set up and, hopefully they can attract new customers or sell some of their wares while they're out there.
What if you had a wish list that you could go and pull businesses into Whiting from? What do you need? What would you like in Whiting?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, of course, but when you're a small community and you're trying to be a tourism with a tourism focus, a hotel is really probably on our top of our list, and we're working with several developers right now, but our real estate's fairly tight, so we want to make sure that development is it fits us and it's the right for the community, right fit for the community. A bike shop, of course, is something that we've been working on, and it looks like we are very close to landing that opportunity. With 14 miles of trails between our friends in North Hammond and Whiting, there's an opportunity there to at least tap into that market. And we hope to have a bike shop that maybe handles rentals and sales and also repairs within maybe by next spring.
Mayor, people are listening now, probably some of your fellow mayors in other small communities. What advice would you give them to get up and get going like this?
Well, you have to really have a strategy, and you have to work hard at making sure you stay on point, and you stay focused. We started the idea of tourism related, changing or transforming our community into a tourism site, probably in 2006. And each year you have to knock one of the hurdles down, and you have to go on to the next step. And over time, it builds. And we've been blessed that a strategy and a plan is actually working for us. It's not always that case, but you have to be pretty persistent, and you have to keep working at it.
Well, Mayor, we wish you continued success there, and all the best to all the good people in Whiting, Indiana.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Whiting, Indiana Mayor Joseph Stahura. Joe Stahura with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are up 87 points this morning, a third. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher by about a quarter each. Gold and silver both trading higher. Gold is at $1,222.70 an ounce. That's up about $5. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look over the crop progress reports issued yesterday afternoon by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, a little bit of a decline. 71% of the corn crop rated good to excellent, down 1% from a week ago. Soybean, good to excellent number at 67%, and that's down 3% from a week ago. Spring wheat, 74%, good to excellent compared to 78% a week ago. 90% of the winter wheat crop is harvested, and back to growing progress. Corn, 12% of the corn crop dented, and soybeans, 75% setting pods at the moment. Grain market. Wheat ended yesterday at a three-year high. Again, poor weather in various parts of the world having an impact on yield and production. And September wheat gained 17.5 cents yesterday, while September corn only gained 0.75 cents, and August soybeans dropped 7.75 cents. And in cattle and hog futures, a lower trade yesterday because of technical selling. The August lean hog contract down $2.07 a hundredweight. August live cattle down just 2 cents a hundredweight, and the August feeder cattle contract down 75 cents a hundredweight. Meanwhile, an earnings report from Tyson Foods yesterday, the report beat profit estimates on strong beef demand. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. A couple of stories. Before we leave you this morning, President Trump says stiff U.S. sanctions against Iran are back in effect, and that anyone doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States. Those are his words in an early morning tweet today. The move comes after the president declared the landmark 2015 nuclear agreement horrible. The sanctions reinstated today target financial transactions that involved U.S. dollars, Iran's automotive sector, the purchase of commercial planes and metals, including gold. More U.S. sanctions targeting Iran's oil sector and the central bank there are expected to be reimposed in early November. Carl Icahn is urging Cigna shareholders to vote against the health insurer's attempted multi-billion dollar takeover of Express Scripts. In a letter today, the billionaire and activist investor warned that Express Scripts, a pharmacy benefits manufacturer, faces intense competition from Amazon, regulatory risks, and said it could lose the business of other health insurers that won't want to deal with the company owned by a rival. Icahn says Amazon will have no problem competing given its 100 million members. He holds a stake in Cigna. He suggested that the company instead consider multi-year partnerships with a pharmacy benefit manager, possibly even Express Scripts, while the sector deals with the challenges it's facing. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, August the 7th. A couple of things on the calendar today, including the job opening and labor turnover survey, JOLTS. We'll see that at mid-morning, and then later in the afternoon, a report on consumer credit. It's also a big day for earnings. Among the companies reporting today, Dean Foods, Discovery, Office Depot, Avis, Budget, Lending Club, Match Group, Papa John's, Potbelly, Snap, Wendy's, and one of the big ones, Disney, reporting earnings today.